We talk a lot about the basics. That means Bible study, quiet time. It means the navigators have a little illustration called the wheel, and there are four spokes to keep Christ in the center of your life. The word, prayer, fellowship, and witness. Those are the four things you do for good health. If you want to be healthy physically, you eat well, breathe well, rest well, and exercise well. The Word of God is our food. Prayer is our breathing. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Christian fellowship is spiritual rest, and Christian witness is spiritual exercise. So if you want good physical health, you eat well, breathe well, rest well, and exercise well. If you want good spiritual health, you eat well, rest well, and so on. The Word, prayer, fellowship, and witness. It's the basics. And it protects us against the disease carriers. The world, the flesh, and the devil are disease carriers. The world system. The perversion that we talked about of money, sex, and power. The flesh and demonization. Those are disease carriers. And let's remember, you know, medicine is a wonderful servant and a terrible master. 7 days after your next MI, all of your patients will have a new physician. Your widow will not have a new husband. Your kids will not have a new dad. I don't know how to say it any more plainly. And Christ has three missions: to bear witness to the truth. That's what he told Pilate. To seek and to save the lost, and to destroy the works of the devil, the influence of Satan in the lives of people. And Satan has no long-term interest in you unless you're involved in the Great Commission. If you're just one of these happy, make the formations, hold down your end of the pew type people, with no prayer, no vision, no concern, no outreach, no spiritual exercise, you're a Dead Sea Christian, it all flows in and nothing flows out, you're no hazard to the devil. You'll probably never even meet a med student demon, much less a resident. But if you're involved in the lives of people, then he wants to sever your spiritual spinal cord, try to make you quadriplegic between here and heaven. So the three things that we want to focus on: the promises of God, the blood of Jesus, and the importance of praise. In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came to Jesus and tested him, the way Jesus responded was incredibly instructive. For example, Satan came to him and said, "If you be the Son of God, if you're the Son of God." Well, now, at that point, the Lord had a choice. He could have said, "Funny you should bring it up." Because the last few verses of Matthew chapter 3, there's a voice from heaven saying, "You're my beloved Son." Christ could have gone to a perfectly legitimate, valid experience with God the Father, a voice from heaven, and saying, "I just heard a voice from heaven not too many days ago, and it was the Father, and he said to me, I am his beloved Son." But at that point, dealing with Satan, Jesus Christ made absolutely no reference to a prior experience, even a valid experience. He went to Deuteronomy. He quoted the Word of God. He submitted to its authority. And he did it each time Satan came along. Someone has wisely said, when you're dealing with the devil, don't argue, quote. And it's quote and obey, for there's no other way. The Word of God. Why are we so, fanatic about hiding the Word in your heart? Years ago, the first time I went to Europe, back in the winter of 1960, and I was on a gospel team in Berlin 2 months, just before the wall was built. And then I was privileged to visit some NAVs in Paris and up in Copenhagen and in London before returning to Southern California to be with Buzzy and the kids. And I was standing outside a hotel in Copenhagen. I was reviewing verses, and I came across this verse in Timothy, "Neither be partakers of other men's sins." This guy came along and said, "Hey, buddy, you want to buy a watch?" You know, and he had a whole coat full of them. And I thought, "Don't be partaker of other men's sins. No thanks. I don't want your watches." You know, it was just, it was so clear. The Word of God. The Word of God. Hide it in your heart. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says that we partake of the divine nature and we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, inordinate desire. Why? Through the exceedingly great and precious promises. It's these promises that nurture my inner man, that give sustenance and strength and resistance to my spiritual immune system. First John 2:14 says, "I've written to you, young men, because you're strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." How do young men overcome the wicked one? By the Word of God that lives in their hearts. And it's not just memory. All of us know people who have memorized tons of Scripture, who were living in gross sin and rebellion and immorality. We're talking about memorize, meditate, and submit. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Do what it says. The promises. And I just got promises that I pray for my own life, and promises that I claim for Buzzy, and promises for the children and the grandchildren, and promises for you. There are passages of Scripture which Buzzy and I claim in prayer for the physicians and their spouses. God is going to do stuff in your lives because He's faithful. It's a great joy, isn't it? But how do you keep your immune system strong? It's through the promises. So any comments, questions, observations, sweetheart, anything you want to add or clarify? Okay, anybody else? The second thing is the blood. He presented His own blood to the Father, and I've put down just a few passages that tell what happened. And you say, why? And I really don't know. At some point in the heart and mind of God, God decided that the issue would be blood. And we're justified. I am as righteous as God is. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Incredible. I'm washed. There's this cleansing. And of course, that's one of the basic functions of blood in the human system. It's cleansing. It's carrying away all the waste and all the poison and seeing to it that it's properly removed. And when that system breaks down, we die. We're redeemed. We were purchased. It was the price. We have peace through His blood. He's the peace child. We're sanctified by His blood. We enter the holiest by His blood. Oh, how often when I begin my time of prayer and devotions, I just start with Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And you enter the presence of God with Hebrews 10:19. Start your worship and start your praise and start your adoration and start your petition and start your confession. Oh, it's precious. We overcome Satan by his blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb of God. If you want to avoid AIDS, keep your own blood clean. If you want to avoid sin, you rely on his clean blood. And I have found it very, very helpful and instructive whenever I have sensed the enemy's attempt to demonize me, to begin to work me over my thought life with either anger or lust or resentment or envy or discouragement. I start to sing hymns about the blood of Jesus and quote verses on the blood. Let me urge you to just memorize a few of the old hymns on the blood and memorize some verses on the blood and just start singing them. Something Satan and all of his hosts don't want to hear about is the blood. They will leave the room. They do not want to be reminded of the blood. They don't want to hear about the blood. They want nothing to do with the blood. And these martyred saints in glory overcame the enemy by the blood and their own testimony. Great. So if you want to give the devil your testimony, that's okay too. He probably knows how you got converted, but it won't hurt to remind him. But sing hymns on the blood and review the blood. There's power, power. Wonder-working power in the blood. Buzzy and I attend a wonderful church, and we've got more of a traditional service at 9 o'clock, and more of a contemporary at the 11 o'clock. And we're kind of old fogies, and we just kind of like singing some of those old hymns. You met some of you, my little 4-year-old last night, Lauren, granddaughter, and. And Ken takes her to meetings sometimes, and Ken sings her to sleep at night. All the old hymns. Dr. Frank Minnerth, who's a psychiatrist in Dallas, said he has never had to hospitalize a patient who knew and reviewed the hymns of the faith. He's never put anybody in the hospital who knew and sang the old hymns. Doesn't mean there hasn't been anybody, it's just been he's never hospitalized anybody. But that's a great testimony to the power of the hymns. And Lauren, the Wheaton Revival in January of 1950, and Buzzy and I were there, the hymn that we sang that broke the student body and brought revival was "Out of My Bondage, Sorrow and Night, Jesus I Come." She can sing all 4 stanzas of that hymn. It's great, you know. They come over for supper, and then Buzzy sits down at the piano, and we sing all 4 stanzas of "Out of My Bondage, Sorrow and Night, Jesus I Come." That's a great way to start out a 4-year-old. Good deal. Sing hymns in the blood. Glory in the blood. Thank God for the blood. Remind the enemy of the blood through the word and through hymns. So, any thoughts? Father put the blood over the doorpost.
The death angel said, "When I see the blood, I will
pass over you." Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's the beautiful Jewish ceremony. In some respects, the most precious of all the Jewish feasts, the Passover. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Amen. And we're under the blood. It's great. And then praise. And obviously these are all interrelated. The first mention of praise in the scriptures is in the book of Genesis. Leah named her son Judah. And Judah is the Hebrew word for praise. And Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of praise. And our lion defeats the roaring lion, Satan, when we praise. Praise is giving God the love and the adoration of our hearts. It focuses on His being, His character, His attributes, His glory. Spend some time in the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with praise. Quote them, sing them. One of the branches of the Presbyterian Church, the Reformed Presbyterian, all they sing is the Psalms, the Psalms, you know. And they sing them a cappella. They don't even have organs in the church because as far as the old Scottish church fathers are concerned, an organ is nothing but a wee box of whistles and it's not proper to whistle in church. But God is good. And it is precisely what Satan refused to do. As far as we can tell, sin entered the universe when Satan decided not to give God the glory. All other intelligent beings in heaven and earth and the universe are praising God. And that beautiful story of Jehoshaphat and the enemy ambush in 2 Chronicles 20. They began to sing praise in the midst of adversity. And God ambushed the enemy. Okay. No problem. We'll pronounce a benediction here. When we praise, we fulfill the purpose for which we were created. A lot of people are wandering around planet Earth today wondering, why am I here? If you ever ask, bump into somebody who wonders, why do I exist? They say, you exist to praise the one who created and redeemed you. And it preserves our focus on the Lord Jesus. I included in the last page of the notes, and we won't take time to read it, a wonderful little book written by a dear woman of God, a dear friend of Buzzy's and mine. "31 Days of Praise" by Ruth Myers. She concludes, we may or may not know the names of our demonic opponents or their rank. We may or may not be well versed in occult practices, New Age tactics, or what Satanists are up to. But through praise, we defeat our enemy, thwart his purpose, and advance the purposes of our wonderful Lord. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to bear witness to the truth. Seek and save the lost. And destroy the works of the devil. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Well, looks like the kids are back. Let's go ahead. And any final word or comment or question or...
Skip, Sunday school teacher years ago said that we ought always to praise God for His word, for His work, for His works, for His deeds.
Beautiful.
It's an easy way to
think. His word,
His works,
His worth,
and His ways.
Beautiful. Amen. Let's do that. And then live an integrated life. It's all sacred. Enjoy medicine. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy your ministry. Enjoy your recreation. Fruit is just excess life. Just be such a happy person, it'll drive everybody else crazy. They'll want to know what's different about you. And then you can tell them who it is that makes a difference in your life. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful week. It's been so precious, so encouraging, so refreshing and renewing. And Lord, you have gotten into our hearts by your word and by your spirit through one another, time alone, time as couples. And Lord, I pray that for each one of these beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, that you'll help them focus on one thing this next week. Not go away from here with a long list of things to do or work on, which would in itself be self-defeating. But to think about one thing, and the next week or two or however long it might take, integrate that into his or her life. Lord, we look forward to the next time when we'll be together, rejoicing, victorious, fruitful, that in our marriages and with our families and in medicine and in the various open doors of service you give us, and in the recreation that we enjoy, and in our neighborhoods, and churches and communities, that we will bear witness to the truth, and seek and save the lost, and destroy the influence of Satan, bind the strong man, deliver captives, all for your own eternal worthy honor and glory. Thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.